Thank you very much. I'd like to focus on a topic that has been brought to my attention by dozens of young men and young women where they attend, at times, a yeshiva high school, more often than not, post-yeshiva high school, yeshivot, and seminaries. And the Rebbe will tell them unequivocally that the halacha is such and such in this particular area of halacha. And the child will say, but in my family, we've been doing things somewhat differently for the last, 30, 40 years since I've been born, that's for sure. And it creates some degree of conflict and tension between within the child. What should that particular child do? Follow the guidelines, traditions of the family, or try to win over the parents and say, look, my Rebbe said, this is it. And you have these types of conflicts in hashkafa areas, and even more seriously in halachic areas. In areas of Hilchot Shabbat, I'll give you a couple of illustrations, famous illustrations. In areas of kashrut, what type of kashrut standards are acceptable, what type of halachic policy. How does a child and parent respond when there are such conflicts? So let me begin by just showing you some of the simple areas of halacha which are always on the radar screen of conflict, because my Rebbe said one thing and my family has been doing something else. So if you take the handout, take a look at the last source, source Dalet. I start with this one because my daughter, who attended Bruria, there was no Mayanot at the time, so she attended Bruria, and they're learning Hilchos Shabbos, and her teacher said, under no circumstances are you permitted to make tea with a tea bag and a kli sheni. So you take the water from the urn, put it into the cup, and now take the tea bag and dunk the tea bag in. There is no one who allows making tea in a kli sheni. So my daughter sheepishly raises her hand and says, but my father has been doing it that way since I've ever seen him drink tea. Always makes it in a kli sheni. So I photostatted for her, for the teacher, a clip that Rabbi Schechter put in Nefesh HaRav. This is source Dalet. And it says as follows. This is quoting Rabbi Schechter. B'mishna brura, hevi das kama min achroinim, lehachmir shelo lasos te afilu b'kli sheni. Mishna brura cites a variety of achroinim that even though we paskin that a kli sheni is not mevashel, the halachic process of cooking cannot take place in a kli sheni. Kli rishon, only something on the fire has the ability to cook, even though the level of heat remains fairly constant from the moment that you pour something from a kli rishon into the kli sheni. Initially, it's going to be, the same degree of heat. But it's a halacha. Kli sheni eino mevashel. There are a handful of exceptions. So the Mishnah Berurah says that tea is one of those exceptions, and you should not make tea in a kli sheni. So what would you have to do? You take the tea from the cup, pour it into a second cup, so now it's a kli shlishi, already twice removed from the original urn, and that everybody said you're allowed to dip a tea bag in. The Rabbeinu and the Rav, Omar Bazeh HaLoshon, used the following expression. Shehasaba Shalo, his grandfather, Rab Chaim Brisker, Hayemidaktik b'mitzvos. He was pretty careful with the observance of mitzvot and Shabbat, of course. And yet, Hayam Mishtamesh b'sakiyote b'kli sheni. Rab Chaim dipped a tea bag in a kli sheni, and he was pretty frum. Va'af hu, and he too, the Rav, Hayanoig acharav lahokel bazeh, followed grandfather and used a cliche, a tea bag and a cliche. So when my daughter showed this little clip to the teacher, she almost fell off the floor. because she said there is no one on this planet who allows a tea bag in a klisheni. And I would imagine that some other of her friends, whose father or mother was not familiar with this clip from Rabbi Schechter, claiming that Reb Chaim used it, is now going to have a big fight in their own house. Because the father said, I've been making tea because my father made tea with a tea bag. And now my Rebbe said, there is no one on this world who allows it. So there are a couple of things that parents have to be aware of and a couple of things that Rabbeim have to be aware of. The halacha is aware of the fact that there is often some degree of conflict, and somewhat surprisingly, let's see how the Rambam formulates certain halachic areas when there is a conflict, and perhaps that can help guide us as well. So if you take the top of the page, source Aleph, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Kishem she'adam mitzuveh b'chvod aviv v'yirato, just as an individual is obligated to be mechabed and have a sense of awe for one's parents, kachu chayav b'chvod rabo v'yiraso yeser mi'aviv. You have to have yira and kavod for a rebbe even more than a parent. She'aviv mevi'ei l'chayo l'mazeh, because parents enable a child to grow, to enable the child to function in this world. V'rabo shalomdo chachma mevi l'chayo l'maba. His Rebbe, who teaches him Torah, enables the person to acquire a chelek in olam haba. So here is the conflict which the Gemara Bava Metzia speaks about. Ra'a avedas aviv v'avedas rabbi. I see on the street at the same time two lost objects. One I know belongs to my Rebbe, one belongs to my father. Who should I retrieve first? So the Rambam says, Shel Rabbi Koidemis L'Shel Aviv. The Rebbe's goes first, because there is a higher degree of obligation to service your Rebbe than there is your parent. Same thing the Rambam says about if they are both taken captive and you have funds to redeem only one of them. Which one should you redeem? The Rambam will say you're supposed to redeem your Rebbe and then your parents. However, the Rambam writes that if your father is a Talmud Chacham, if your father or mother is a Talmud Chacham, under those circumstances, the parent goes before the Rebbe. Parent goes to, because the parent has two qualities. Number one, they are your parent. Number two, they have Torah knowledge as well. And hopefully they use that Torah knowledge in sharing it with you. So the golden rule seems to be that if a parent is not involved in the Torah education of their child whatsoever, doesn't teach him Chumash Rashi, doesn't teach him a Mishnah, just relies on the educational system, and all of the child's acquisition of Torah comes about only through the teacher, under those circumstances, the teacher takes priority over the parent in these types of conflicting situations. Who's lost article to retrieve, who to redeem. But the moment that the parent participates in the Torah education of the child, to some degree, the child has multiple rabbis. He has his formal Rebbe in school, but his parent is fulfilling a major responsibility as a parent, teaching child Torah. As a result, under those things, the dual nature of the father or mother at this time, that they are parent as well as teacher, that overrides the fact that that normally we award priority to the Rebbe as opposed to the parent. That's the Rambam's seeming rule. The Rambam does not claim that the Rebbe has to be the greatest, the father has to be the greatest Talmud Chacham in the world. As long as he's a Talmud Chacham, doesn't have to be the equal of his Rebbe.
as long as he's knowledgeable and participates in the education of his child as a ben Torah, that's how the Ritvaz explains the Rambam, under those circumstances, parent wins out. But if the parent does not participate, then the Rebbe is to be awarded the highest priority. So even in a halachic framework, there are times when the halacha recognizes there is a conflict between a parent and a Rebbe. So I want to focus on not when there are conflicts between the Rebbe and the parent and what your response is, but where it impacts directly the child. That's where I want to focus. When the child has been taught to do A, and the Rebbe said, what you're doing is halachically wrong, and I want you to follow what I'm telling you to do. So, there are several guidelines that I would hope people would always be cognizant of. And then I'll show you another illustration, which again comes up in all yeshivot, and even more so in seminaries for girls. A parent has a responsibility to always, in the child's eyes, to have respect for the Rebbe, for the teacher. It's very easy for a parent to undermine the teacher and say, he doesn't know what he's talking about, she doesn't know what she's talking about. We've been doing this in our family for 100 years, and just belittle the teacher. A child has to recognize that under all circumstances, his or her parents respect the teaching ability and the knowledge of a teacher. Otherwise, it's difficult for the child to be receptive to learning when the child sees that the parents don't support and recognize the scholarship of the teacher. So even though you think the teacher under those circumstances is dead wrong, and he or she might be dead wrong, one has to convey a sense of respect to the child that you as a parent respect his teaching, respect her teaching, and never belittle a Rebbe, a teacher, in the eyes of the child, because that will severely impact the ability of the child to look at the teacher as a role model and an effective teacher. So if you want effective teaching to take place, parents have to demonstrate that I recognize that this particular individual is somebody who is worth learning with. But yet, there are these conflicts. So a parent's responsibility is to do some homework for him or herself. Okay, so let's take survey says on the tea issue. How many people here use a tea bag and a cliché? How many people would not use a tea bag and a cliché? Okay. So, just 1 second. So here in this case, if you don't, let's talk to those who do. Those of you who do, and now the Rebbe tells your child, you know what? You're not allowed to use a teabag and a klisheni. It behooves you, the parent, to investigate the matter. Speak to your local rabbi, investigate it on your own, and see if the Rebbe is right or not. There are times when people's homes have been engaged in practices which have very little, which have no halachic basis whatsoever. In which case, as a model of consistency and appreciation of what the halacha is, the parent makes a decision telling the child, thank you for alerting us to what the halacha really is. From here on in, the family tradition is going to change. If there is no halachic support for the family's tradition. If there is halachic support for the family tradition, then the parent, in my opinion, should maintain loyalty to their family tradition, explain to one's child that there are multiple opinions, and show the evidence, as I did with my daughter, show the evidence where you found, where your Rebbe pointed you, your rabbi pointed to you and said, look, here is an opinion quoted by a noteworthy posek who says that it's okay to do it the way my family has been doing it. So the Rebbe would be called upon to respect the fact that he or she was simply unaware of the fact that somebody allowed it. And hopefully that teacher, will, the next time they teach that topic, would be prepared to engage in a more balanced presentation. Yes?
So I understand that you have your minhagim, and in some cases a minhag is something that has been passed down from generation to generation. But if it's something like tea, for example, and you can so easily take one more coast and move it in that direction, so that you're not just satisfying your child, but you don't know which company you have that would want the one over the other, and it's that simple to do, where you're accommodating other people, and it's not changing your minhagim per se in all ways, but it's that one little thing that you're doing to accommodate someone else's needs, whether it be that or chol yisrael, where when you're baking, for example, dairy, and you don't know who your company is going to be, but if you buy the chol yisrael, you know you're going to accommodate everybody. Isn't that something also to teach your children, that you're not necessarily not abiding by your
minhagim,
but you're taking the larger picture.
That's certainly you know, an interesting idea, and it has some validity. There are people who try to practice that. That they will, if they have company and they're not sure what standard that family is, they'll take the highest standard to make them feel comfortable. You know, that's certainly your prerogative. But you know, a lot of families don't want to go through the trouble of making that accommodation, and for some families, it's a matter of principle. I'm not going to accommodate them. But you're right. There's nothing wrong with in the tea issue. Okay, so I'll make my daughter happy. I'll make the company happy. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I also don't think that this is a very simple issue. But I'll give you other issues where it really bothers people. Everybody conducts the Seder the way their parents and grandparents conducted the Seder. And there are lots of little differences here and there. And you come to a Seder and the Rebbe said, oh, no, that's not the way to do it. You do it this way. This is the way you have to do it. And that's something that really, bothers people. Why? Because I watched my grandparents. I was at their Seder and they did it this way. So I don't know if a lot of people under those circumstances would be prepared to make that accommodation just to satisfy. I'll give you one illustration that supports your case. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zichrono Livracha, has a son who lives in Muncie who's very, very right-wing. Extremely right-wing. Now, Rav Aaron knows how to learn, and I would assume that everything served in Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's house is kosher. Yet one of his sons did not eat in his house. This one from Muncie did not eat in Rav Aaron's house. Because Rav Aaron relied on one shita about koshering certain things, which he felt is much too lenient, and he took the more strict opinion. So what Rav Aaron did is he asked Tova, his wife, to buy a new set of dishes, new set of pots, and from now on, we're going to take into consideration that opinion. And he once explained that he had two alternatives. Either he remained stubborn and say, I also know how to learn, and that's it, but then I'll never have the pleasure of my grandchildren at my table. Or I'm going to say, I know what the halacha is, but I want my grandchildren at the table. So if I want them to feel comfortable, I'm going to accommodate them. And that's exactly what he did. Bought new dishes, new pots, and from here on in, decided to honor that one minority opinion that his son felt was the halacha. Now, that's a decision that he made because he wanted his grandchildren. I could understand that. Otherwise, his grandchildren, his son said, my children are never going to come to the house because I don't believe that you're serving kosher according to my standards, which is somewhat shocking that somebody would tell that to Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, not eating in your house. Somewhat shocking. But Rav Aaron spoke about this with a sense of pride that he gave it, that he said, I can swallow my own pride in terms of learning. I'd rather have my grandchildren at my table. So sometimes, being stubborn is, saying I want to maintain loyalty to my family's traditions is philosophically and psychologically the right thing to do, but practically it has some negative consequences. And you're right. Under those circumstances, you make the change, even though you have good halachic basis to make the tea in a klisheni. If you're going to make your daughter or son happy and to make some guests happy, so then you change the practice. Be my guest. There is another issue. Again, I lifted it from Nefesh HaRav, a debate between the Rav and Rav Moshe, whether or not you're allowed to use toothpaste on Shabbos. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says it's usur midoraisa to use toothpaste on Shabbos, and he cites the isur, one of the 39 malachos called mimache, smoothing. Smoothing. So if you build a table out of wood, and now you take a piece of sandpaper to smooth down the top, that's the isur of mimache. So Rav Moshe somehow believes that when you take the toothpaste and you rub it against your teeth, you're smoothing down your teeth. It's an isur of mamache. The Rav completely disagreed and said that if that were the case, eventually your teeth would disappear. If every single time you brush your teeth, you smooth down the teeth by scraping the top layer off, eventually your teeth would become much thinner and disappear completely. So he said it's 100% mutter to engage in using toothpaste on Shabbos. But this is an enormous debate that you'll have somebody in a high school or something whose Rebbe was the Rav, or his following his traditions, and he'll tell his class, you're allowed to use toothpaste. And then they'll go to some yeshiva in Israel or seminary in Israel, and they'll say it's asur midoraisa. It's not a rabbinic debate. It's a biblical debate. Asur midoraisa to use toothpaste. So again, the response is, again, you never ridicule the Rebbe. You have to investigate and see why it's permissible, or if there is anybody who says it's permissible. And now, you make a decision what you want to do for your family. You can tell the child, look, your dad studied with the Rav. We follow his Piskei Halacha. Your Rebbe follows the Piskei Halacha of Rav Moshe. That's what this Gemara is all about. Lots of debates, lots of issues, lots of disagreements, and we decide the halacha in favor of one against the other, and a lot of people have different practices as a result. So here, again, if you have some halachic basis for it, under those circumstances, you can maintain loyalty to your family practice. But if after all investigation, you cannot come up with any defense of the practice, no halachic source is willing to offer you support, then a parent has to recognize that they don't know everything, that their education may not be as extensive as the Rebbe's, and under those circumstances, the Rebbe is informing the child, and correctly so, what the halacha is. And under those circumstances, one would be expected to make the change for that particular family based on and thank the child for alerting us to what the halacha happens to be. But if you decide to maintain, to initiate a change, one still has to protect the dignity of the Rebbe and not say he's an idiot or she's a moron, because I have my sources. That's only going to undermine the relationship and
deny them the opportunity to learn from them. One of the most important things is that eventually parents have to respect the right of the child to decide. When children, when youngsters, high school graduates ask me, I always advise them to maintain loyalty to family practices. Advise them. I never tell them. Because I really believe it is a child's right to decide the religious tone and tenor of their life. It's not a parent's right to decide what type of a religious life my children live. My responsibility as a parent is to provide a certain role model. But whether or not they like that role model, if they don't think it's sufficiently committed under those circumstances, a parent has to honor the right of a child to choose which direction they want to go. So it's very easy to recognize the right of a child to go to your right. It's much more difficult and challenging to recognize the right of a child to go to your left. And this creates all types of tension, not necessarily between the Rebbe and the parent, but between the parent and the child, when a child decides, I'm not interested in maintaining a religious lifestyle. It's a parent's responsibility to educate, to try to sensitize, but ultimately the decision belongs to the child. Ultimately. And you can't coerce a religious lifestyle because it'll only have negative, deleterious impact upon that child's future of ever considering a return to a religious type of lifestyle. So a decision as to which lifestyle they want to take, which halachic approach under those circumstances is certainly your prerogative, the child's prerogative, which one to take. In any time that there is a conflict between the Rebbe and a parent, if the child says, you know, I want to follow the Rebbe under those circumstances, that's their prerogative. They don't have an obligation necessarily to follow your traditions. They don't. It would be nice that they would, but it's yes. Okay, that's the debate. What age are we talking about? Obviously, an 8-year-old is not in a position to make that decision. But when you get somebody who's already a junior or a senior in high school, where they already have a brain, it's a little difficult to force a 16 or a 17-year-old to engage. You have to come to shul with me. You know, you have to sit at the table properly. I know the agmas nefesh that certain parents experience, where a child does not want to come and sit at the table Shabbos. And if he will, he says, I'm not wearing a yarmulke. I know it. I've had too many conversations with parents along this route. And my advice always has been, don't coerce. I try to speak to the child that he or she has a responsibility to act decently and respectfully in the home. Have that obligation. And certain things they should try to accommodate, whether they believe in it or not, simply in honor of their parents. But to force the issue usually has very, very negative implications and will not accomplish the objective that you're looking for, namely to create an environment where one day they'll consider returning. One thing that a parent has to realize is that a child needs you to be able to speak to you on any issue that he or she wants, and it's not from in a strained relationship. So if it means making that sacrifice by giving them some religious freedom in order to maintain the relationship, I happen to think that that's the most important thing, most important value that a parent can cherish. That I have an open relationship with my child, and my child feels comfortable talking to me. And that's not going to come by being critical of every step along the way. So what we've done is try to outline what might be certain situations that you have where there are conflicts between a parent and a child. Typically, if the parent is not in a position of teacher, the halakha favors the Rebbe over the parent. That's what the Rambam said. So in the cases of Aveda, of Pidyon Shvuyim, Rebbe always goes first, unless the parent is also a Torah teacher. If the Torah teaching component has been fulfilled by the parent, parent outweighs the Rebbe. And you can borrow from that halachic position as to who becomes the primary halachic guide in the house. Is the halachic guide the Rebbe or the halachic guide the parent? If the parents know something or investigate something and study it, then the parents have a right to dictate in the show. Look, says in this well-known authority that it's okay. But if the parents engage in no learning, no study, no research, then they're not in a position to defend their practice, then the Rebbe's position would necessarily attain priority. Yes?
Question, like a child say opinion of the Rebbe, but only opinions which favorite for him this time. I say, if you say this opinion, you have to follow another opinion also.
Right, that's true. Can't be picky. That's true. Yes?
In the case of halacha, it's kind of easier to decide what you go research. It's kind of more easy. But in the case of hashkofa, I mean, the child can say, you know, I see what my Rebbe says. I don't respect my Rebbe because of this, and I don't like what he says. So it's hard to say. It's very hard to. And if you agree with it, it's what happens that some children just, children are different. Some children can be very smart. They really see what the Rebbe doesn't get it.
Right.
And you really understand. You understand. How you go to show respect to your teacher?
That's a very good question. It's a very good question. And you're right, in the areas of hashkafa, it's much more exaggerated and a lot more difficult to defend. I grant you that. But nonetheless, you have to try to demonstrate a measure of respect for your Rebbe's opinion and just say that our outlook is a little different, is a lot different. And that's it. But I grant you that that it's much more difficult on hashkafa issue than halachic issue. Halachic issue, it's much easier to research and to find somebody who agrees with you. Hashkafa wise, much harder to defend. Much harder to defend. I grant you that. All right. Have a wonderful day.